Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Gents, it is Friday, June 21st. JJ is heading to LA. Josh Giddey has some new high schools to check out. And we have some NHL and Major League Baseball betting action for you today. I'm Mad Max. Joining me, the one and only Six Panther. Panther, happy fucking Friday.
Happy Friday. Happy day off. I don't know if anybody's ever said, like, you can't make up on lost sleep, but those are lies. Are absolute lies, because when I go,
totally can.
Yeah, because when I go, the whole week of my 5-6 hours sleep, working all night, and then last night stayed up, played cards with the family, and still went to bed about 8 o'clock. I set my alarms like, oh yeah, you can get like 10.5 hours of sleep. Maybe it was like 7:30, and I got almost all of that. So. And I could have stayed in bed. The alarm woke me up, so I'm dragging, and it's probably a bad day to dragging because we're going to go enjoy this 95-degree heat in an amusement park. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, have fun there, man. I hear commercials for Kings Island from time to time on our show, funny enough. So it's a known destination, so I hope you and your daughter enjoy it. And officially summer yesterday. Yesterday was the first day of summer, so it's felt like summer for a while, but officially summer. Let's get to it. So, you listen, I want you to get on the road. Your daughter's already awake. She's ready. She's ready to go. she's like, Dad Panther, tick tock, hurry up. Tell Mad Max.
Let's go.
Less 80%. Get to it. All right. First story, Lakers agreed to a 4-year deal to make J.J. Redick their next coach. The next coach that they're going to have to fire at some point and pay him. That's the Lakers way. But speculation had been around that JJ was going to get the job. He does a podcast with LeBron. I mean, come on. He's got no official coaching experience. He did play in the league for 15 years. He's a great analyst. I get that. And now he's the next head coach of the Lakers. Now, listen, I guess those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. The Boston Celtics hired, Mazzulla, who had no head coaching experience. So it'll turn out the same way, right, Sex Panther? I'm sure that the Lakers will win the title next year.
Oh, yeah. I bet the betting line on the Lakers just skyrocketed with the hiring of J.J. Redick. We talked about this yesterday, and we're like, J.J., turn it down. You don't want this job, and And there's still questions. Maybe this solidifies things, but you know, there's questions of whether or not LeBron would even be there next year. And I kind of think with the hiring of JJ that there probably was some discussion and LeBron's like, yeah, I'm going to be back, but it's LeBron and there's no definitive contract and the NBA draft hasn't happened yet where Bronny gets drafted by somebody, which that GM should inexplicably be fired as well. But it doesn't move the dial. I think my big question is, does JJ Redick go full Pete Rose and step on the court? Right? Should he have like a uniform in the locker room in case in the second half of a game they need some 3-point shooting or something? Has anybody ever done that, Max? Has anybody ever coached and played in the NBA?
One that I know of. Bill Russell.
Russell did. Interesting.
Bill Russell was a player coach back in the day. Towards the end of his career, he was a player coach.
JJ can fire the long ball. He's got a 3-point stroke, so something that the Lakers don't do very well. I think their 3-point shooter is probably LeBron, but I feel bad for JJ Redick. It's hard to, you know, there's 30 of these jobs, 32 of these jobs in the entire world, and you're offered one of them. It's kind of hard to turn it down, but not a great situation, I don't think, for JJ Redick.
He also becomes yet another LeBron opponent. So he was drafted 3 years after LeBron, by the way. He becomes the fourth LeBron opponent to coach him. Can you name the other three?
Lou's the only one that comes to mind.
Ty Lue, of course. Yep. Josh Hamm. I'm sorry, not Josh Hamm. I'm already thinking about Josh Giddey. Darvin Ham, the previous coach that they just had, was an opponent of his, and Luke Walton.
Oh, so, yeah.
Luke. Yeah. Those guys.
Forget about coaches. Luke.
Yeah.
I see JJ Redick going down the path of Luke Walton.
Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. I don't envy anyone that has to coach LeBron. I think there's only one. You remember how it was like, there's only one guy that could really coach MJ or get the most out of Kobe, and that was Phil Jackson. You know, that was that Phil Jackson was able to get the most out of these guys, and the only coach I really think can coach LeBron is Spoelstra. You know, I think it's the one guy. Now, I did see something. I saw kind of like a meme, or not a meme, but just like a tweet or an X or something like that. About the shot that Ray Allen hit in the finals for the Heat, and basically saying is if Ray Allen misses that shot, this is how much history changes. Tim Duncan has the same NBA Finals record as Michael Jordan. Kawhi Leonard has 3 rings. LeBron is 3-7 in the finals. Yeah, it's just like that one shot by Ray Allen kind of changed the course of history there for the big three. That all said, it was Spoelstra, I feel, was the head coach that got LeBron, I won't say the most out of him, but coached LeBron the best. After that, it's just a ticking time bomb of when the coach is going to get fired. It's just a bad, okay, let's think about this. So Jordan didn't necessarily get a coach fired, right? But Collins, they moved on from Collins for Jordan. And then he had Phil Jackson. That was it.
Right.
Magic Johnson did get a coach fired, but then he had Pat Riley after. I get it. Like, these, you know, star players should have a say in who's coaching them to a degree. But it's like the grim fucking reaper if you're a head coach and you're trying to coach fucking LeBron, man. It's the tick, 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 boom of the coach is gone. Like, so JJ, congrats. Take your money and run. Go have fun. Anyway, second story. The Bulls traded Alex Caruso over to Oklahoma City, got Josh Giddey. Now, I saw this and I'm like, wow, good trade for the Bulls. And then I am apparently the only person on the internet that thinks that. Everyone thinks that Alex Caruso is some kind of god. Like, you know, they're treating it like Dennis Rodman got traded to the Bulls. Or, you know, I saw one person saying, oh, this is like the Warriors getting Andre Iguodala. Like, Alex Caruso? Really? This bald fuck? Everyone thinks that he's some fucking great guy? Like, cool. He plays defense and he can throw the ball down and dunk every so often. When he's healthy. Josh Giddey, on the other hand, like, you know, I know that there was a little bit of regression, but, like, he's a young star. Now I'm thinking of him on the Bulls, a team that has been desperately needing of a guard like that because Alonzo Ball's been injured. And the internet is just saying that I'm wrong. Panther, am I wrong here? Like, what's going on?
I think there's two idiots now, and we do a podcast together because I saw this as a win for Chicago as well. You know, you got 9 years younger. Alex Caruso's 30. Josh Giddey's 21. So you're getting a young, dynamic player who... Well,
careful with talking about ages around Josh Giddey, Sex Panther. Just careful with that.
He might, you know.
Listen, you've driven through Chicago. You've looked at the high schools. You can maybe do some scouting for him.
I don't know if you can get in trouble if they're not documented. I'm not sure how all that works, but he's younger. And the Lonzo Ball thing, I think this is almost Chicago mailing it in. Like, Lonzo Ball's not coming back. That's kind of my read here, is we needed to do something. Caruso's 30 years old. He's a great defensive player, and that's his strong suit. Maybe OKC felt like that was where they needed to fix. That was what lost them, you know, in the playoffs, was their defense. They need somebody, maybe they saw from Boston and what their defense did, and they wanted to get better on defense. I can't read minds, but that's the only thing that kind of makes sense. But when you're looking on the surface of the trade, Josh Giddey was kind of like a poor man's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He did a lot of the same things, just Shai did it better and had the ball in his hand more. So if you're saying that the Bulls get a poor man, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they should be really excited about that. Getting a defensive player like Caruso for OKC makes them better on the defensive side. I don't know that makes them better as a team. I'm not for the Thunder. I'm not in love with this move. For the Bulls, I absolutely love this move, and they've got to do something because they made moves, what, 3 years ago. And it just hasn't worked out. Like, they've got names on that team, and it's just not, they're just not getting the win. So I think they had to shake some things up, and this is probably the first move. I won't be surprised if we see some more moves from the Chicago Bulls.
Or more moves from the OKC Thunder, a team that I think is on the cusp of being a championship team as well, right? So, I'm not mad at OKC. Again, you're adding a defensive player, a role player that many teams coveted. You have a plethora of draft picks. You can always just pull in so many young players to keep that core just going and going and going. So, I don't hate it. I'm mad at the internet for making it seem like, you know, the Thunder somehow ripped off the Bulls. It's like, no, it's like, oh my God, there's no draft picks involved. Oh man, what a ripoff. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? My instant reaction was like, I felt like the Bulls slightly got the better out of the deal. That was just my instant reaction. And I know that, again, I know Cruz is a hell of a defensive player. He's a guy that I wanted on the Celtics. Absolutely. I've seen it. I've seen what, like, backcourt defense can do to a, you know, star duo, right? I mean, but the difference is Jrue Holiday on any given night, other than his amazing defense, he can put up 30. Derek White on any given night, other than his stellar defense, he can put up 30. Alex Caruso? Well, I don't know. Maybe he'll put up 20. Maybe, you know, he's a good role player. I get it. It's a fair trade, I feel, for both teams. OKC has plenty of opportunities to get younger players. No problem. But people out there that are treating this like this is a one-sided fucking ripoff trade, just stop it. Just stop it with this fantasy over Alex Caruso. He's a good player there. Question. All right. Would you put Alex Caruso above the two guys I mentioned, Derek White or Jrue Holiday?
No,
exactly.
I don't even put it above Josh Giddey.
Exactly.
This is it's a dynamic of the team. And I think sometimes, like we talked about this with Sacramento, sometimes too much of the same thing, you kind of got to, you know, you get better by getting rid of some players. And like I said, Giddey is a lot like Shea, and maybe they just felt like they needed a different type of player at that position. But coincidentally, Giddey's a lot like Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. They're kind of crowding the ball handling in Chicago, and that's why I think something's going to happen with one of those two players because there's just not enough ball to go around with that many playmakers.
Totally. You'd imagine that it would be DeRozan, the older of the players, right? You'd imagine that he'd be on the move, and there'd be teams that would be interested in adding. Do you think Dallas would like to have DeMar DeRozan?
Dallas or Philadelphia, the first team. Yeah.
You know, like, I think Dallas would absolutely jump at the opportunity to get DeRozan. And Zach LaVine and Orlando? That could push them over the top. I mean, Orlando, they need the dynamic scorer, but he's getting older. I think him as that third option on a, you know, if you're thinking about matching up with Boston, if Dallas's mindset is, okay, well, if we can get through the gauntlet of the West and we have to face Boston again, and we have DeRozan as that, oh man, that puts him pretty close to even footing with the Celtics at that point. You know, we're having another scoring option like that.
Zach LaVine in Orlando.
Oh my God, Zach LaVine. How funny would that be? Didn't the whole trade with Orlando with Vucevic and just going back to that well. Zach LaVine. Oh yeah, no, Zach LaVine in Orlando. Yeah, that would be something. I think so. So again, I think there's moves that the Bulls are gonna have to make. I think that there's still a couple moves OKC could make with all their draft picks. It's interesting. It's already heating up with the NBA Finals over and teams starting to make moves and the next season already coming into shape. So we'll see. We got one more head coaching. Well, two more head coaching vacancies, right? We got Cleveland and we got Detroit open now. So we'll see how that plays out for those two teams. Yay. Those are the two places where I'm sure that people are dying. See, the JJ Redick's like Los Angeles or Cleveland or Detroit. Now, I mean, take it as you will. Los Angeles has better weather, but it could also at any moment sink into the sea. So take the security of Cleveland, you know.
Yeah, and kiss half your check goodbye, too.
All right, listen, let's take a quick break. After that, we got a Stanley Cup Finals game to talk about and some Major League Baseball. Stay tuned. Hey, DGens, college football is right around the corner, so you know what that means, right? Mad Max gets to give up his talk time to Sex Panther, take a little nap on the show. Also means the return of MyBookie as a show sponsor. That's right. MyBookie sportsbook and casino platform. You can bet on every game and win anytime, anywhere, straight from your mobile device. No app needed. Just go to mybookie.ag, sign up with the promo code THEDGENS, and you're ready to rock. MyBookie gives you tons of opportunities to win with college football this year. Whether you're rooting for your alma mater like Panther and Ohio State or your favorite team like me and Rutgers, there's no better way to experience the season than having action on these games. But when you use MyBookie, you're not just betting on football. You're investing in your team for the season. When you know your team well, it's easy to take advantage of props, win totals, things like that, early picks for playoff contention. Last year, MyBookie had some of the best odds on the market for the Wolverines to win the championship, much to Panther's chagrin, and the bettors who backed their squad saw a 10-time return on their wager. So you got to lock your futures in now while you're waiting for the season to begin, and you got to use that promo code THEDGENS. You're going to claim a bonus up to $1,000 on that first deposit. That's THEDEGENS. If you didn't know how to spell the DGENS, that's how you spell it. And you can start betting college football just with house money. You start off just there you go. Here's some free money. Take it. Take this money. Bet it. Bet anything. Anytime. Anywhere. Only with MyBookie.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Back at you, possibly never even left you. Okay, Stanley Cup Finals, Sex Panther. Here it is. The Edmonton Oilers taking it back home for a Game 6. Series is 3-2. We talked about some statistics about teams being down 3-0 and coming back in the NHL. It has happened before. Edmonton at home, looking to push it to Game 7, finding themselves minus 115, the Panthers plus 100. Does this series go 7, or does Florida finally put the death knell? Do they finally do it and close out the series?
I'm playing both sides here because I did make a series play on the Florida Panthers. But when you look at how this thing has started, Florida has proven to be a 3 or 4 goal team. And Edmonton has proven to be, you're going to kick the shit out of us, or we're going to put up a lot more than that kind of goals. Edmonton put up more goals in their 2 wins than Florida did in their 3 wins. Like, this is what we've been saying about Edmonton. When they're clicking, they can score at any given moment. They put up 8 goals last time, and that was the fear that we kind of had about these Oilers, is their offense, when it starts going, it's kind of like an unstoppable force. So now the question becomes, you know, they had a little extra time off the travel. Is Florida rested, healthy, and ready to go out there and play that elite defense that they did the first 3 games? Because they're going to have to. This Edmonton crowd, this is their Game 7, right? They're not coming back after this. They got to, you know, create a hostile environment for the Panthers. I'm one of those, in these types of things, I kind of go with the hot hand. I go with the trend. I go with what's working. I got to take Edmonton here, man. They're at home. They're getting an even line, not really a plus line. But they're playing very good offensive and defensive hockey, on both sides. So I'm taking the Oilers here for $10.
I mean, first off, hell of a series. This has been a lot more fun than we thought it was going to be after Florida just kind of whacked them in the first few games. Edmonton's turned it around. They turned into the Edmonton team that they've got the best player on the ice. Simple as that, right? I mean, they've got the best hockey player in the world, and you can't discount that. It's, you know, especially full strength 5-on-5, like having the best player. We've seen that can make a difference. Goalie wise, their goaltending has cooled off a little bit the last few games, where they had the better. Bobrovsky was the way better goalie than Skinner, and it's kind of shifted. I hate to do this to you, Panther, because you told me not to, but I'm betting Florida here. I think Florida goes on the road and closes this thing out. We know that they can win in Edmonton. We know, like, them losing in Florida was something that, you know, doesn't happen very often. So I get your mindset here. I just think with the slight plus line here, I think there's a little bit of value on Florida. Plus, I just want to doom you and make this go 7. So $10 bet on the Panthers. all right, Major League Baseball time. So-so day yesterday, betting baseball. Thursdays are never like our best. The parlay, thank you, Yankees, for just getting absolutely butt-fucked by the Orioles, man. Like, I mean, like, just absolutely just anal thrashing time for the Orioles there to the Yankees. It's not going to dissuade me from looking at the Yankees again today as they play a new series. But I digress. Where are you starting at?
We're going to start by ripping the Band-Aid off and talk about your Metropolitans going to Chicago, take on the Cubs. Hey, Jose Quintana going to toe the rubber for the Mets, but going against Imanaga, who has been, dare I say, godlike on the mound for the Cubs. He's been absolutely phenomenal with a sub-2 ERA, a 1.89 ERA, a 7-1 record. The Cubs just flat out win when he's on the mound. The minus 140 seems a little sus, if you ask me. Matter of fact, it opened at 150 and down to 140. So I feel like Vegas knows something that I'm just not feeling. I'm taking the Cubs here for $10.
Now, again, I'll chuck this up to series, Nationals, Phillies, Nationals, Marlins, Padres, and Rangers. The Mets offense is humming right now over the last few weeks. And again, I'll chalk it up to series. They're facing arguably the best pitcher they have in weeks, right? I'd have to remember if they I don't think they play Suarez against the Phillies, but you know, arguably this is the best pitcher that they've faced since, I don't know, playing the Dodgers, like, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, whatever, right? So it's a different situation here, but the Mets offense is humming. You know, as for pitching wise, Quintana's been fucking good. His last outing was really sensational. I'm not in love with this Cubs team either. I think this is a team that is underperforming. This is a team whose offense has been okay, but not, like, you know, stellar, right? I mean, it's a good offense. It's not like you know, one that you're gonna say, oh yeah, like this is a World Series type offense. In fact, the Mets have actually scored, I think, 20 more runs on the season than the Cubs. You know, so I think there's value on the Mets here with the plus line, but I think they lose. I ultimately do think they lose this game. So I think you're on the right side here, but I don't know. You're saying the line is sus. I'm almost saying it's a value play with the recency of the Mets. We'll see if they just shit the bed against a stellar pitcher, but I'm going to lean New York here.
Next game up, the Arizona Diamondbacks are at Philadelphia, taking on the aforementioned Phillies. Jordan Montgomery taking the mound for the D-backs, going against Tawan Walker. Walker's not having a very good season. He's got a 3-2 record, but a sparkling 5.33 ERA. Going against Jordan Montgomery, who's not faring much better. He's 5-4 with a 6 ERA. I think there's going to be some runs scored in this game. Go figure, though. The Diamondbacks, they take 2 out of 3 against Washington, but the one they lost was the one Patrick Corbin pitched. What the fuck? Like, seriously, Diamondbacks, what the hell? So, hey, if you can't beat Patrick Corbin, maybe you can't beat Tawan Walker. I'll take the fighting Phils -140 for $10.
-135 Six Panther. I'm going to lean Philadelphia with you. I don't like it. I don't like this one. But I'm very happy. I'm very happy. Finally, a Mets pitcher that is pitching exactly how he pitched on the Mets. Thank you, Tawan Walker, for proving that if you leave the Mets, you can still be shitty and not be the greatest fucking ball player. Not be fucking Zach Wheeler and fucking Seth Lugo. By the way, the Royals won yesterday. Another Seth Lugo win. So, yeah, I'll lean the Phillies with you.
Next game up. Battle of a couple competitive losers. The Chicago White Sox are going to go to Detroit, take on the Tigers. Actually, good pitching matchup. Eric Fetty going against Jack Flaherty. A very good pitching matchup, but I don't like either one of these offenses. I think I like the White Sox offense better than the Tigers. But I like Jack Flaherty, and I like Flaherty at home. I'm going to eat some chalk. I really don't like doing this. There's no value here, but I think the Tigers are the play. I'll take Flaherty and the Tigers for $10.
Yeah, I would argue that this is the pitching matchup of the day. There's one more that we could probably throw into the mix, and I'm definitely going to get to that matchup. But this is one of the better pitching matchups, of course. X-Chris not joining us. We're going recording a little bit later. He's past his bedtime right now. But he did mention in the main Asylum chat that he's taking Detroit on the money line with Flaherty on the mound against Fettuccine. But, I mean, Fettuccine's been really fucking good. You're the White Sox whisperer. You know when they win. You know when they lose. I think you finally lost one, right? Betting the White Sox is the first time all season. I like the Tigers here to win this one. It's way beyond my chalk threshold for a team of this capacity. That said, I'm gonna get you -167 at Schmidt Schmivers, and at 167, I think it's tolerable. So, more support. Lean on the Tigers.
All right, this must be the pitching matchup you were talking about, because Boston's going to Cincinnati. Red Sox versus Reds, period, I guess. Cutter Crawford taking the mound, going against Andrew Abbott. Actually, a pretty decent pitching matchup. Boston's offense has been vastly improved. Cincinnati's offense, I mean, come on, dude. Hunter Green goes out and pitches a shutout. You can't give him one single run of run support. What the hell? The upside of this Reds offense is astronomical. The reality of it sometimes, I mean, look at this. 0-2-1-4-1. That's their last five games. The Reds offense is really a dumpster fire right now. And I know they're fully capable of performing better than this, but they haven't been. I need the Reds to get off the fucking toilet and do something because I'm betting them today $10 on the Cincinnati Reds.
Their offense is nothing to write home about, but they've got one of the best pitching staff in the league, I think. I think that they could get even better there with at the trade deadline. Maybe inject some offense. To me, I know they're in last place in the Central, but the Reds still are this team that I think luck has been against them. I think that they're a much better team than their record says, especially on the pitching side of things. This was not the pitching matchup I was talking about. I do like Crawford here for Boston, but I think there's value on the Reds here. I'm going to lean Cincinnati with you.
All right, next game up, the Seattle Minesweepers are in Miami taking on the Fish. George Kirby going against Trevor Rogers. Trevor Rogers having an absolute horrid season. He's 1-8, with a 5.09 ERA and a 1.62 whip. He puts men on bases and then lets them score. He's terrible. Now, we all love Seattle. This is a team that somehow has limped their way to first place. They've lost their last two against the Guardians, giving up 14 runs. But I think Kirby can stop the bleeding there against the Fish, whose offense is just anemic. So 165, a little chalky, but I'll still take Seattle for 10 bucks.
Yeah, I don't think it's that chalky. I'm jumping on Seattle with you. I agree. You know, on the road, 17-21, not anything to write home about, but Miami's just awful. Like, Miami's terrible. There's not much more I can say about this. $10 bet on Seattle.
All right, last game up for me, the Baltimore Orioles, who are only a half game behind the Yankees now, going to Houston, take on the Astros, a team that just cannot get any footing. Every time you think they're going to get something going. Granted, you would take two out of three against the White Sox. Yay. But injuries are just part of the problem. Injuries are still part of the problem because they're going to throw a pitcher out there that I have no idea who he is. Jake Bloss being called up from the minors. He played college at Georgetown, not exactly a baseball factory. And for his efforts, for his debut, he gets Grayson Rodriguez, who's 8-2. With a 3.2 ERA. Astros are hurting. Kyle Tucker's still out. Pitching, question mark. Baltimore, no question marks. I'll eat the 155 and take the Orioles for 10 bucks.
Yeah, I like Baltimore here too. I'll give you some moral support. I don't hate this one for the parlay, but I think we'll pencil this in. I don't hate this one. But yeah, just a moral support. Lean on Baltimore.
All right, those are my plays, Max. What else you got?
I got one more and one more only, and I know you're in a rush and your kid's probably saying it's 7. Let's get the fuck out of here. And I want to talk about the pitching matchup that I think is Chris Sale and Carlos Rodon, Braves and Yankees. Rodon 9-3 this year, Chris Sale 9-2. I think that this is a hell of a pitching matchup. Yankees, as I mentioned, just got shellacked by Baltimore at home. I think they bounce back today. They're getting a plus line at home. I don't care. I'm not in love with this Braves team. I think the Yankees are going to bounce back. $10 bet plus 102 on the Yankees.
Interesting enough, we're not in love with this Braves lineup, but don't look now. They've won 4 of their last 5, including their pitching giving up 0-1-1-2 in their 4 wins. So the pitching has been getting it done. Their offense still leaves a little to be desired. The Yankees have conversely lost 4 of their last 5. And in those 4 losses, they've given up 17, 7, 9, and 8. Pitching, which has been the Yankees' strong suit, is failing them. Now, I do trust the offense of the Yankees much more than I do with this Braves team. Marcelo Zuna is about the only bright spot for the Braves. The Yankees just have too many hitters. I was off this game. Like, the pitching matchup, I was like, ugh, how do you pick one? They're both so damn good. I really do like Chris Sale. His time in Boston, he's very familiar with the Yankees, so I think that gives him a slight advantage over maybe the rest of the Braves staff. But still here, I think I like the Yankees, just not enough to bet them. A lean on the Bronx Bombers.
All right, four-way Friday. We got the Seattle Mariners minus 159. We got the Baltimore Orioles minus 155. We have the Detroit Tigers minus 167. And why not? Let's throw in the LA Dodgers at home against the Angels minus 185. Four-way Friday pays 563. And with that, Panther, take us home and get to Kings Island.
Kids, we're going home. And yeah, Kings Island, I'm excited. But 6 days from Vegas, just saying. This time next week, I'm waking up in Vegas and Max is doing this all by himself. Unless one of you D-gens join him. He likes company, but you only get 20% talk time. So there's that. I want to thank Dad No Money and Homer J for joining us live. X Chris, go fuck yourself. But you guys know the deal. Hang out on the Asylum in the Discord channel. Come out, shoot the shit with us. Call us out by name. We'll holler right back. But most importantly, let us know what you did yesterday, what you're doing today, and the rest of the weekend. And when it's all said and done, kids, let's make some money, fools.
This show is sports entertainment. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered professional advice. In short, don't be stupid. Gamble responsibly. We will not be held responsible. Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.